This is Redefining the Counterculture on Witten Radio. Make sure to check out our website at wittenradio.com.
Hey guys, you're listening to another episode of Redefining the Counterculture right here on Witten Radio. Today we are speaking with Scott Lilly. Scott is with the Thurgood Marshall College Fund. Scott, how are you?
I'm doing well today. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. So I'm super excited to talk with you a little bit about what you do. Tell me, when was the scholarship fund first, I guess, initiated, and what was kind of the catalyst that led to its creation?
Yeah, sure. So Thurgood Marshall College Fund, as we like to refer to as TMCF, Tom, Mary, Cat, Frank, was founded actually 30 years ago. We're celebrating our 30th anniversary this year, and it started out as a scholarship fund. Our founder, Dr. N. Joyce Payne, created the Thurgood Marshall College Fund to support publicly, historically black colleges, historically black colleges and universities around the country. So your Tennessee states, your state institutions. And we started out primarily as providing scholarships, but have expanded our programmatic offerings. And I am fortunate enough to lead up all of our programming activities, as well as the president of one of our divisions called OSC.
Very nice, very nice. And tell me a little bit about, I know like this year, well, the tail end of last year, there was like this big controversy that came out regarding, I think, the Secretary of Education, and she, you know, said that something to the effect of, you know, she didn't understand the importance of HBCUs, or she didn't understand, you know, she felt like, you know, that it was unfair that there were HBCUs. In your own opinion and your own professional advice, could you tell us, you know, why are HBCUs so important?
Well, sure. And Thurgood Marshall College Fund, as well as providing scholarships, as well as providing programmatic offerings for students, we also have a policy and advocacy division. And so, you know, the Secretary of Education, I think what you're referring to was, you know, wasn't exactly that she said that HBCUs weren't relevant. And to the question that you answer, or that you asked, opposed to us, I mean, at TMCF, we think that HBCUs, and we know that HBCUs are relevant. Not only are they historically relevant, but we see them as being currently relevant. First of all, they have a deep supply of African-American, not exclusively, but African-American talent. We like to put that talent into various opportunities for full-time jobs and internships. And as inclusion and diversity is a large conversation in the fabric of the corporations of the 21st century, we think that HBCUs are viable. For example, they produce more black engineers than any other institutions combined. And so, again, when you're thinking about STEM, when you're thinking about some of these critical needs areas, HBCUs are a resource and a pipeline for those talented individuals.
Absolutely. I totally agree. The fact that HBCUs produce more black engineers than any other university system, that says a lot. I mean, that's a huge stat, and that just, you know, like you said, that basically attributes, you know, or attests to, you know, the fact that HBCUs are definitely still much, much needed.
So. Absolutely.
Now, Scott, how can, I guess, prospective students get involved or be considered for the Thurgood Marshall Scholarship Fund?
So the best way is to visit our website, www.tmcf.org, and make sure that they look at our not only our scholarship offerings, but also our career preparation. We have a leadership institute that is very it's our signature event that we have each year in November. This year it actually moved up 1 month to October, and we bring about 400 of the top HBCU students to Washington, D.C. for a multi-day, all-expense-paid leadership development and what we like to call a matchmaking, a match.com, so to speak, for top corporations and students. And then we also have other programming offerings like our OFC Innovation and Entrepreneurship Program. Actually, we'll be conducting that next week in Durham, North Carolina. We also have an internship program where students can apply to receive an internship. But most importantly, I know students want to know how they can get scholarship funds And those scholarships typically open up in January each year, and we run through about May. But I encourage students to check out. We have one specific program that is off-cycle that I just mentioned called our Lowe's Gap Scholarship. And that's to close students who have in their senior year who are looking to graduate but have a financial balance. And we come in and try to close that gap so that they're able to walk. And as you know, commencements are going on around the country right now. And so that is not only for the spring, but also the fall graduates.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's awesome. And what are the requirements for prospective students wishing to apply for one of your scholarships?
Well, it all depends on what scholarship. We align them with our funders and our partners. So we have scholarships, for example, that are for first-generation freshmen, so students coming out of high school who are the first in their immediate family to go to school. Then they have, a 2.5 GPA requirement. Then we have some scholarships that are four-year, multi-year scholarship programs that you have to have a certain ACT and a certain SAT score. And then we have some scholarships that are just for seniors, like I said, that you just have to have a minimum balance and a minimum GPA, usually of a 2.5 for that scholarship program. But then we also have a unique partnership with some other corporations that not only are a scholarship but also an internship opportunity. And so it's hard for me to just say, you know, what the general criteria is, because we don't have a general. It's all unique, and that's why I say students who are interested should visit our website and look at our scholarship page to see what those specific requirements are.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, I know that you'll be in attendance this year at the 2017 MOOG Fest in Raleigh-Durham, North Carolina. Tell me a little bit about how the Thurgood Marshall College Fund got involved with this year's festival.
Absolutely. So as I mentioned earlier, our OFC program that I lead up, we were looking for a new location. Typically, we've hosted our programs at a hotel, and this OFC program is really focused around innovation and entrepreneurship. And Durham, North Carolina, one of our colleagues here introduced me to someone who was the Google in residence at the America Underground, which is, if anyone knows, in Durham, American Underground is doing a lot with trying to kind of become the Silicon Valley of the South. And as I went down and I met some folks, I learned of this MOOG Festival, and Doug Strazniak and I sat down, the COO, and we struck up a conversation and said, how can we bring our students and incorporate them in the MOOG Fest? This year they have this Big Top festival or a Big Top event. And the idea is to showcase what Durham has to offer. And as we are bringing HBCU students who are in, you know, coming from various schools around the country, we thought, why not expose them to some of this entrepreneurial spirit and this entrepreneurial activity that's going on? And it's not just, you know, necessarily, you know, 2- and 3-person entrepreneur startups. These are some companies that are fairly large, who, if you're looking to have diversity or if you're looking to be an inclusive team, you want to make sure that you're reaching out as far as you can. So Doug and I saw an opportunity to have our students exposed to the festival as well as to have the festival exposed to HBCU students.
Absolutely. That's awesome. And which days will you be there during the festival?
So we actually are working with the MOOG Fest, and actually on next Wednesday we have a unique kind of behind-the-scenes look at a certain aspect of the festival. But our program actually starts on May 16th, Tuesday, May 16th, and we'll be there the entire week. So our program kind of runs in conjunction or kind of in parallel, and then there'll be times where we'll be moved over and tap into the MOOG Fest activities.
Very nice, very nice. I'm excited. It would be really good. Do you know, I guess, where you'll be at the festival? Like, where can our listeners go to your booth and find out about you guys?
So we won't actually have a booth. We're actually teamed up with American Underground, and we'll be down in the American Tobacco, the American Tobacco Underground. We have some space there at Shaw University, as well as the Iron Yard is hosting us. So we won't be inside of the actual MOOG Fest. We'll be kind of, like I said, parallel to it. But if they come to the American Tobacco Underground, they should be able to find it.
Very nice, very nice. And Scott, where can our listening audience find out more about you and keep abreast of the ongoing projects that the Thurgood Marshall College Fund is working on?
Sure. As I said earlier, our best communication channel is our website, which is www.tmcf.org. Again, that's www.tmcf.org. But we also have, of course, Facebook and Twitter that we're out there, and our Twitter handle is TMCF_HBCU, and individuals can find out what we're doing in the social media landscape as well.
Very nice. Scott, thank you so much. I'm all out of questions, but I wanted to open the floor to you if there's anything you'd like to say to our listening audience.
No, not at all. I just would say that I appreciate the opportunity and allowing, HBCUs who are today getting a lot of attention in the media to continue to inspire and uplift those students who come through and have an opportunity to change the world one leader at a time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love it, Scott.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. No problem.
Okay.
Guys, that was Scott Lilly with the Thurgood Marshall College Fund. We will put the link to their website in the body of this post. If you're listening to us on SoundCloud, go ahead and hit the subscribe button. We're also on your iOS device. If you've got an Apple product of any kind, you can listen to us by downloading the Stitcher Smart Radio app. It's available for free. Download the app, search for our show name, Redefining the Counterculture. You'll hear this interview with Scott. We're also available for Android users. If you've got an Android, you can listen to us by going to the Google Play Store, search Google Play Music, search for our show name, Redefining the Counterculture. You'll hear this interview with Scott. Lastly, we're available on Roku. If you've got a Roku device or a Roku smart television, you can listen to us right in the comfort of your own home. We have over 200-plus hours of original content, programming, and interviews all free of charge. Just go to the Roku channel store, search for our name. Once you search for our name, just download the app, and you can begin listening all free of charge.
This is Redefining the Counterculture on Witten Radio. Make sure to check out our website at wittenradio.com.